Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We left off in the middle of a discussion featuring David HaMelech and the Dor HaMidbar. The Gemara had mentioned that David HaMelech, who seemingly sinned or erred in the context of Bas Sheva, taking a woman in a somewhat or seemingly inappropriate fashion, and the case of the Dor HaMidbar and their failing with regard to the Egel Hazov, it was mentioned that they weren't really involved with that with their full hearts. It wasn't a real sin, so to speak. They weren't the kind of people to stumble upon that. So then, what really took place? So the Gemara says that those incidents took place to serve as a model of how powerful repentance can be. The Gemara mentioned at the Gemara that we're continuing with at the top of Daf Hey mentions that we need to feature both incidents, the case of David HaMelech and the case of the Dor HaMidbar with the Egel Hazov. Third line from the top, the Gemara says, Utsricha, I need both incidents. Di Ashmin and Yachid, had we informed you or told you the story of David HaMelech, Mishum Delo Mefarsem Chatoi, since it was a private violation or a private offense, so being that it's not so well known, therefore I can see that tshuva will be effective. Avol tzibur de mefarsim chatoayu. But when it comes to a public offense, where the offense is so well known, and there's an element of chilul Hashem, a violation of God's name, Emolo, I might have thought that tshuva would not be effective. The Yashmin and Tzibor, and if we would tell you the story of a Tzibor and its stumbling and eventual penitence, Mishum Dinafishi Zichusayu, because they have a lot of merits. When we look at the community collective, we find massive amount of merit. Avol Yochidolo, Alimo Zichusay, but a private person whose merits aren't as strong, Amolo, I might think to say to the contrary, that tshuva would not be effective. Tzricha, therefore, we need to feature both cases, both private and public. Even though they commit an offense, there is the tikkun, there is the salvation through repentance. V'hainu de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani om Rabbi Yonason. With our markings, we feature statements of his, of Shmuel bar Nachmani, with a double underline. You can see one here and a couple lines later. And this is what is explained in our Mivneh heading, the structural note in the outside margin, Havlotas Memro Shel Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So, in this context, with penitence, we see that which he says, Mai Dichtiv Ne'um David Ben Yishai U'Ne'um HaGever Hukom Ol. The Gemara explains this pasuk, Ne'um David Ben Yishai, the speaking of David ben Yishai, Shehekim Ula Shel Tshuva, who established the yoke, or we'll say the effectiveness of Tshuva. The Omar Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer Yonason, Kol Ha'oise Mitzvah Achaz Be'olam Hazeh, one who performs even a singular mitzvah in this world, Mekadmosoi V'hileches Lefonov L'olam Haba, that mitzvah functions as an advance man, so to speak, that goes in front of the departed to the world to come. Shenemar v'halach lefonecha tzidkecha uchvod Hashem yasfecha v'chol ha'oiver aveira achas, and one who violates a halacha, a mitzvah, Milafosoi umalichosoi liyom hadin. It wraps around him and accompanies him to the day of judgment. Shneamar, ilofsu orchois darkom v'chulei. Rabbi Elazar Omer, he has another description of an Aveira violator. He says, Kshuro bo kekelev, the nature or the description of an offense with regard to the departed, he says it's tied to him like a dog. Shneamar v'lo shoma ileo lishkav etzlo liyois imo. This is a pasuk referring to Yosef and his overcoming the temptation or the seduction efforts of Potiphar's wife. The Gemara explains, Lishkav etzla, he didn't heed her seduction to sleep with her be'olam hazeh, in this world, and liyos ima be'olam habo, to be with her in the world to come. At this point in the Gemara, Reish Lakish opens up a section that we are labeling a long comment of Reish Lakish, and we've done that by indicating in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text Reish Lakish, that you can see is encircled, and a vertical dashed line going down till almost the bottom of the page. This indicates that the following discussion revolves around Reish Lakish's opening comment. The Gemara on the side of the Gemara, the outside margin, we have a Nosei heading, and it says, Ilmole avoisenu ose hoegel lochotu, if our forefathers, namely the generation that was in the Midbar that did the egel azol, if they had not sinned, then the nature of life would have been different. And we'll see what that difference is in the course of the Gemara. Omar Reish Lakish, Boyu v'nachzik toivo lavoseinu. Let us feel a sense of gratitude toward that generation that made the Egel Hazov. Why should we have a sense of gratitude? Shil molehein lochotu, if they had not sinned, anu lo bonu la'olam, we wouldn't have come to the world. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, lo bonu la'olam shahoyu kimalochim, they would have been viewed as angels, v'lo hoylidu bonim, and would have not born children. Angels don't give birth. That generation would have not given birth, and hence we wouldn't have come to be. Shneamar, the pasuk that describes that generation, says as follows: Ani omarti Elokim atem uvnei elyoin kulchem. I, says Hashem, viewed you as angels. However, chavaltem asechem, you stumbled. You made the egel hazov, the golden calf, ochein keodom temusun, and as a result of that, you will certainly die as man. At this point in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. This is explained also on the outside margin under the Mivne heading. This bowtie form, She'elois Shel Lameimra De'ilo Chatu. We see the Gemara will be asking questions surrounding this issue, that had they not sinned, are you telling me thusly and thusly? And we'll see the first question is here, Lameimra De'ilo Chatu, etc. And in the wide lines, you'll notice another one of these questions. Following this, the Gemara will then present a series of psukim that are featured in triangles, and you can see under the Mivne heading, Kushios Meha Mikra. These are questions from psukim al hakviya, on that which is established. The Ilo Chotu Dor Yotze Mitzrayim Lo Hoyinu Nolodim. The Gemara will attempt to say that had they not sinned, then we would not have come to be. We would not have been born. Well, with regard to that conclusion, the Gemara will be raising numerous questions. Is that really so? Is that really accurate to say that we would not have been born? We see evidence from Psukim to the contrary. So let's now continue with the Gemara. Lameimra di'i loy chotu lo havu moldu, by suggesting that they would have been like angels, and therefore they wouldn't have born any future generations. just like angels don't give birth. So are you saying that had they not sinned, we would not have been born? V'hoksiv. But the pasuk in the Torah says, V'atem pru urevu. It talks about procreation and reproduction. So the Gemara says, that's true, that there was reproduction ad Sinai, but until the event of Matan Torah. The Gemara asks, B'Sinai nami ksiv, but with regard to the generation at Mount Sinai, it says, Lech emor lohem, shuvu lohem, lo lechem. And without translating the pasuk literally, it simply means that they were instructed to go back to their wives, and being with one's wife leads to procreation. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. L'simchas oino. That's for the sake of experiencing a man-wife relationship. That's referred to by the term oino, but not necessarily actual reproduction. V'hoksiv l'man yitav lohem ulivnehem v'chulei. That the Torah experience would serve to benefit them and their offspring. So we see that the generation of Sinai would have offspring. So the Gemara says, not from the point of the Matan Torah though. La'oisun ha'oindim al har Sinai. It's a reference to the people, namely the people and their sons that are currently standing at Mount Sinai. But after the giving of the Torah, there would have been no further children. The Gemara asks, here is a long question. We see this as indicated to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We've written in a kuf and circled it with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this particular question. The Ha'omar Reish Lakish. And before we go on with the question, to summarize the question, we will be seeing an incident where Odom HaRishon is able to view the door of Rabbi Akiva, so that we see that even way after the Zman of Matan Torah, it was already foreseen that there would be childbearing. So the Gemara continues. V'amar Reish Lakish, Mai dichtiv ze sefer todos Odom v'chulei. Did Adam HaRishon have a book that this pasuk says this is the book of Adam HaRishon? But rather, melamed shehero lo hakadosh baruch hu l'Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was shown dor dor v'dor shav, dor dor v'chachomov, dor dor uparnosov. He was shown each generation and its various types of leaders. Kevon shehigia l'doro shel Rabbi Akiva. When he got to the generation of Rabbi Akiva, and we emphasize here, which was way after Matan Torah, Somach b'Torasov in Esasev Meisaso, Adam HaRishon was viewing the generation of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva himself, and was very happy with his extreme accomplishments in Torah, but he was also very saddened by the terrible death that he experienced. Omar and Adam HaRishon reacted, V'li ma yokru re'echo keil, how beloved unto me are your friends, or your loved ones. V'omar Reb Asi, Ein ben David bo ad shicholu neshamois shebeguf. The eventual redemption will not come until all of the souls are emptied out from the vessel, that the spiritual vessel that holds the souls. Shenema kiloi loilom oriv veloi lenetzach ektsoif ki ruach milufonaya toif uneshomois ani osisi. The Toisus explains ki ruach milufonaya toif Moshiach nikro ruach, the anointed one, the eventual Moshiach, is called by the term Ruach. Kidechtiv, Ruach apenu Moshiach Hashem. V'ochi pirusho dekro, ha-Moshiach milofona yacher, kemo ha-atufim lelovon al yedei nishomois asher osisi. The Moshiach will be delayed until all of the souls that I made are brought down to the world. So we see that as far as the original master plan is concerned, there was always envisioned birth regardless of the events surrounding Matan Torah. So the Gemara refines what originally was meant by Reish Lakish. Lo itema anu lo bonu lolam. Don't say that we would not have come to the world, but rather elokimi shelo bonu lolam. It would be as if we never came to the world. And that the reason for that is that had the Dor HaMidbar not sinned with the Egel, they would have lived forever. And next to a generation like that that lives on and on and on, we would have had no Chashivus. The Gemara asks now, L'meimro di lochotu, are you now suggesting that had they not sinned, lo havu maisi, that they would not have experienced death? V'hoksiv parshas yevomois u'parshas nachalois. But in the Torah itself, there are sections of the Torah that address issues of death. For example, the parsha of Yevoma, whereby one of two brothers dies, leaving a widow without children. And the parsha of inheritance. So why would there have been any necessity to have a parsha in the Torah written concerning death for a generation that wouldn't have experienced it at all? So the Gemara answers, Al Tanai. The parshios were written in the Torah conditionally. In other words, if they would sin, then these parshios would apply to them. The Gemara asks, Umiik sivi kroy al tanai, is that so, that there could be psukim written conditionally? So the Gemara answers, yes, it is a possibility to have things that are written conditionally. After the bracketed section, there appears the word meisvei. This meisvei will be a question on that which we've spoken about now, but it won't be on that which is immediately before the meisvei. Let's glance at the note that we have on the inside margin concerning these brackets. Hasograyim mi'odim ledilug. The sograyim, these brackets, are designed to indicate an initial skipping. Kedei lirois, in order to see, shekushias ha-meisvei shenimtzo achrei ha-sograyim, hu kushu al ha-nemar lefnei ha-sograyim. So as to demonstrate that the question presented in the meisvei after the brackets is a question on that which appears before the brackets. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will bring an example of a posuk that's recorded conditionally. That having been said, now we will learn through the Gemara straight, through the bracketed section. The Gemara says that it is possible to have psukim written conditionally. The Hochi Omer of Shimon ben Lokish. My dichtiv, vayirv vayboker yoim hashishi. Reish Lakish points out that this pasuk uses the word hashishi, spelled with a hey, and that's a departure from the way the rest of the days of creation were recorded. Melamed, the fact that it says yom hashishi, this teaches us shehisno hakadosh baruch hu maisa breishis, God made a stipulation with the cosmos, with all of the creation, and said, the Omar, Im ekadlem Yisrael es haTorah mutov, if the Jewish people accept the Torah, then fine, then you will have longevity, you will continue. V'im lav, if they do not accept the Torah, achzir eschem l'toyu vavo, then I will return all of you, the entire creation, to a state of pre-creation. So we see that God himself presents matters conditionally, as the pasuk said, Vayera Vayvoker Yom Hashishi. Meisvei. The Gemara now raises a question on that which we said just before the brackets, namely that had they not sinned with the golden calf, they would not have died. Let's see what this source says. Meisvei, mi yitein v'hoyo levavam zeh lohem. Levatel mehem malach hamoves efsher. Notice how we've dashed, underlined this expression. This is the heart of the question, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking upon the generation of the Midbar and was expressing his great joy and satisfaction with them, and said, and was saying that if it only could be that they could continue like this. And as far as his attempting to offer them the cancellation or the voiding of the angel of death, that would be impossible. Shekvar nigzera gzera. There was already, from the time of Adam HaRishon, mankind was subjected to ultimate death. Ha lo kiblu Yisrael ha-satura elo kidei shelo tehe uma v'loshan sheletes bohen. With the receipt of the Torah, they could have benefited, that no other nation would ever have had rule over them. Shneimar l'man yitav lohem ulivneim ad oylam. The toiva, the pasuk speaks, says that the receiving of the Torah was designed to be of benefit to them, a toiva to them, and the toiva would have been what that which we just mentioned, that no nation would have had rule over them forever. But there would have been death. There was always supposed to be death. So this is a kasha on Reish Lakish. The Gemara answers, who the Omar? Ki haitana, Reish Lakish, who spoke about the voiding of death. He is based on the following Tana, the following Tanaic opinion, the Sanya, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Lo kiblu Yisrael esater elo kidei shelo yehei malach hamoves sholet vahen. They received the Torah, and the result of that would have been that the angel of death would have had no rule over them. Shenemar, ani amarti elakimatem uvnei elyoin kulchem. I designed it such that you would be like angels who do not experience death. Chavalte maasechem, you sinned. Achein ka'odam temusun. The Gemara now asks, "V'Rabbi Yosi Nami Hoksiv Leman Yitav Lohem Luvneim Ad Oylam Toiva Hu Dehavio Hamisa Ika." What does Rabbi Yosi do with this pasuk that we cited before, that suggested that through the receipt of the Torah, namely in the Brisa just before the last one, we saw that through the receipt of the Torah they would have had the toiva of no umo veloshon sholetes bohen, implying that was the toiva, but that there would be death. Omar loch Rabbi Yossi responds and says, kevan deleko misa, since there would have been no death, as I say, as Rabbi Yossi's position is, ein lecha toiva gedola mizu, that would have been the ultimate toiva, the ultimate good. In other words, instead of coming on to say no uma veloshan shaletes bohen, there's a greater toiva that would have been, namely there would have been no death. V'tanakama nami hoksiv ochein ka'odom temusun. The Tanakama that said that there was always going to be death from the very beginning, what does he do with the pasuk of Ochein Ka'odom Temusin, which is mashma that death set in only after they sinned with the Egel Hazav? Had they not sinned, there would have been no death. So the Gemara answers, my Misa, the pasuk that says Ochein Ka'odom Temusin, that there is now going to be death, that's a reference to Anius, to poverty, namely that once they sinned with the golden calf, there now became the reality of other nations plundering them set in, and those nations that plunder strip us of all of our possessions, and hence that results in poverty. The Omar Mar, the Gemara now cites a statement that indicates that poverty is a form of death. Arba chashuvim kemesim. There are four that are considered like dead, and eluhein. They are as follows: ani, suma, a blind individual; mitzora, umi she'ein lo ibonim, and one who leaves without leaving any children. We've used a diamond to give a sense of series of each one of these that were just mentioned are now explained individually. So you can see what the diamond and with their colored in tips indicating a new diamonded series, not to confuse it with the diamonds that one saw on the previous. These diamonds, let us say more accurately, are not colored in, as distinct from the diamonds that appeared on the previous Omid that were colored in. Oni, dichtiv, that an Oni is considered like dead, is illustrated in the following pasuk. Ki mesu kol ha'anoshim. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he can now go back after he was had left Mitzrayim to go to Midian. He was told he can now go back to Mitzrayim because the people that were seeking him out, that were trying to kill him, they themselves died. Uman ninu, who were the men seeking out Moshe Rabbeinu? Dosan ve'aviram. Umimesu, but did they in fact die? Mihavuhavu, they were still around. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, upon his return to Mitzrayim, had eventual contact with them. So how could they be described as mesu? How could they be described as having died? Elashiyordu minichseim, they had lost all of their property. Suma, a blind man, dichtiv b'mechshachim hashivani kimesei oilam. Being in darkness is like being dead. Mitzayra dichtiv. This is a pasuk from the story of Miriam experiencing tzara'as. The pasuk says, "Al na tihi kames." Let her not be, when Moshe Rabbeinu was praying for her benefit, let her not be like the dead. U'mishen lo ibonim dichtiv. Rochel says to Yankev Avinu, "Hava li bonim v'im ayin meisa nochi." And if I don't receive children, I am like dead. And notice, with our markings, we've dashed, underlined the use of the word mace in each context, indicating that these four categories of people are all considered like dead. Tanu Rabbanan, im b'chukosai telechu. Ein im, the word im that opens up this pasuk, elo loshen tachanunim, it's an expression indicating a beseeching, a calling for. V'chein hu omer, we find another pasuk wherein the Kodesh Baruch Hu pleads with the Jewish people to keep his Torah. Just like our opening pasuk of this brisa said, im b'chukosai telechu, which is a plead, would it only be that you keep my mitzvahs? We find similarly the following pasuk, lu ami shome'ali, kimat oyveim achnia. The Omer, another example of this, Lu hikshafta l'mitzvoisai, v'ayikinar shlemecha, v'kol zarecha, v'tzetzei me'echa. Other psukim, as we, whereby the Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to the Am Yisrael, to the nation of Israel, and pleads with them, would it only be that you keep my Torah u'mitzvos? Tanu Rabbanan. Another pasuk whereby you find the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, pleading or turning to the Jews with a request. Mi yitain v'hoyo levovam ze Elohim. The topic that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara is kfuye toiva, those who do not acknowledge favors or goodness that was done for them. But we'll see how this ties into the following discussion. Omer lehen Moshe Yisrael, kfuye toiva b'nei kfuye toiva. You are deniers of goodness, children or descendants of one who denied goodness done to him. B'shal shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael mi yitein v'oyo levovam ze Elohim. When the Almighty turned to you and said, who would you like to be the one to maintain your situation of your current situation of righteousness and love for me? Hoya lohem lomar tein ata. You should have responded and said, you, O God, you should be the one to cause us to maintain our loftiness. Now, they didn't want to ask of God for this, because had the Almighty provided for this, then they would have been beholden to him. And they didn't want to be beholden. We described that nation, our forebears, basically, the nation of Israel in the Midbar, as Kfuye Tova, B'nei Kfuye Tova. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu described them. Why were they described as deniers of good? The answer to that is Dichtiv. V'nafshenu kotza b'lechem haklokel. They complained about the mon, the miraculous food that sustained them in the Midbar. Now, the nature of the mon was a tremendous favor to them. They were able to eat this material, and they never needed to relieve themselves. They never needed to go to the bathroom. That was a very big favor for them, that they were able to continue living and maintaining themselves and not have to trouble themselves to walk to the very edge of the camp in order to relieve themselves, which would often involve a long trek. And nevertheless, they complained about the mon. B'nei Kfuye Tova, you are the descendants of someone who was also a denier of good. Dichtiv. Ha'isha asher nosatu imodi, hi nosno li min ha'etz vo'ochel. Odom harishon, when confronted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding the forbidden fruit that he consumed, he immediately blamed his wife. She gave it to me. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu initially provided the wife as an element of Ezer Kenegdo, of one who would support him. She was given to Adam Arishon as a matona, as a favor, as a goodness, of an act of kindness. And when it came to the moment of truth, so to speak, Adam Arishon fingers her, blames her as she being the source of his problem or troubles. That's Kfiyas Toiv. Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo romzo lahen liYisrael el achar aboim shana. Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't express this chastising, this toichocha to them, until the passage of 40 years. Shneimar va'oylech eschem b'midbar, va'oylech eschem arboim shana b'midbar. Uksiv v'lo nosan Hashem lochem lev. The Psukim are telling us that I was with you for 40 years, and until this point you didn't have the capacity for absorbing these words of chastisement. Omar Rova Shmamino Lokoi Inish Adaite de Rabbe Ad Arboim Shonin. We see from this that a person doesn't truly understand the intentions of one's teacher until 40 years go by. Rashi says, Lo koi inish adaite derabe, lo das soif daito tvunoso, to understand the depth of what one's Rav says, ad arboim shona, until the passage of 40 years. Sharei Moshe lo romzu Yisrael, ad arboim shona. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't bother trying to chastise them and offer these words of Musar until the passage of 40 years. Omar Rabbi Yoichanan Mishum Rabbi Beno, Mai Dichtiv Ashrechem Zorei Al Kol Mayim Meshalchei Regel Hashor V'Chamor. What lesson is to be learned from this pasuk? Ashrechem Yisrael, fortunate is Israel, Bizman She'oiskim B'Tirv Mishasodim Yitzram Mosur Biyadam Ve'ein Heim Mesurim Biyad Yitzram. When they are engaged in the study of Torah and performance of goodness, the evil inclination is within their control, and they are not under the control of their evil inclination. Shenemar Ashrechem Zorei Al Kol Mayim Ve'ein Zriya El Etzdoka. The pasuk uses the word Zorei. This is a reference to acts of goodness, of tzedakah. Shenemar ziru lochem litzdoka v'kitzri lefi chosed. The ein mayim elo Torah. The pasuk also made reference to zorei al kol mayim, to water, and water is a is an analogy to Torah. The ein mayim elo Torah shenemar hoy kol tzomei luchu lamayim. In the pasuk that was cited at the opening of Rabbi Yochanan's comment, namely Ashrechem Zorah Kol Mayim, it said Mishalchei Regel, and Rashi explains that the expression Mishalchei Regel means that they cast off of them the feet of the evil inclination. In other words, when the Yetzirah comes upon them, once they are involved with Torah study and performance of goodness, of kindness, they cast away the evil inclination. Mishalchei regel hashor v'chamor. Here, the Gemara focuses on hashor and chamor, an ox and donkey. Tana debei Elio, the following Tanaic source tells us, le'olam yosim odom atzmoi al divrei Torah, kishor le'ol u'kachamor le'masui. One's approach to the study of Torah should be like an ox while plowing with a yoke on it, and like a donkey while carrying its burden. To appreciate this, it might be advised that one would try to imagine or study the way these animals behave while engaged in the case of the shor, the ox, while it's plowing, and the chamor while it's bearing its burden. It might be explained that they are in full concentration of what they're doing. They are under the completely under the influence of those activities. In other words, while the ox is plowing, it's completely involved in that. While the donkey is bearing its burden, it's completely involved. And so too, one should realize that when studying Torah, we would strive to have a sense of complete involvement, and that would be experienced when one is engaged purely in the study of Torah during those hours that he dedicates to study of Torah, and not involved with other side activities at the same time. Turning back to the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Shloisha Yomim Osur Loses Veloses Imohem. The Mishnah told us that before the holidays of the Gentiles, for a period of 3 days prior to the holidays, a person is a Jew is not allowed to engage in a variety of activities that were enumerated in the Mishnah for fear of the Gentile who receives or is a participant in those different activities, whether it be business matters, sales and purchases, or loans, and paybacks, or borrowing and return of items. For a period of 3 days, the Jew is supposed to avoid his contact with the idol worshippers in those contexts. And we explain that since it's so close to their holidays, the idol worshipper, after having been involved with these different dealings, would then go and thank his deity. And we, the Jewish people, are trying our best to avoid having to be the ones responsible for any contact with the idol, even if it be on the part of those that are not Jewish. The Gemara asks, "Umi bo'inon kulei hai? Is it really necessary to have such a lengthy zone of time whereby we are proscribed from these activities?" Before we go further, let's glance at the title we've assigned to this particular Gemara, Nosei, Birurim, Clarifications, Be'inyin Shiur Hazman Shel Shlosh Yomim Lefnei Edom, Shel Asur Loses V'Loses Im Agoyim. Clarifications regarding this amount of time, 3 days before their holidays, whereby we are restricted from having these different types of dealings. Is it really necessary to have 3 days as such a zone of time? V'ha'tanan. The Gemara goes on and says, but we have a Tanaic source. The gist of the following source will indicate that the amount of time that one readies himself for holidays is basically one day, not 3 days. The source says, "Be'arba prokim b'shana." There are four periods during the year, "Hamocher behemo lechavero," that one who sells an animal to his friend. Imagine someone is selling animals for the sake of slaughter. "Tzorech lehodio," he has to tell the purchaser that I'm selling you, let's say, this particular animal, but imo mocharti lishchot, I sold its mother today for slaughtering, or bita mocharti lishchot, or I sold its offspring today for slaughtering. The halacha that's being referred to here is known as oisoi v'esbeno, that the Torah prohibits an individual from slaughtering a parent and a mother and offspring on the same day, so that if one bought an animal and prior to the purchase on that very same day the parent, the mother or offspring was also sold, that would serve as notice to the second purchaser not to slaughter, but rather to wait a day before he slaughters. The assumption being that the first person who bought would have slaughtered that very day. Now, what are the four periods during the year, the four times during the year where people will are assumed to slaughter immediately? V'eluhein, Erev Yom Tov V'achron Shel Chag, the day before Shmini Atzeres; Erev Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, the day before Pesach; the Erev Atzeres, the day right before Shavuos; the Erev Rosh Hashanah, the day right before Rosh Hashanah; uchid Rav Yossi Aglili, af Erev Yom HaKippurim beGolil. And according to Rav Yossi Aglili, this halacha would apply with regard to the day before Yom Kippur in the Galilee region of Israel. What's the point of this? The point is that since these are special holiday periods, and there are many more details to explaining these particular days than we are going to expound upon in the context of our shiur, because we're trying to extract the nugget, the main point, and that is the element of one day. That when is it necessary to forewarn, or how much time before a particular holiday is necessary to forewarn people? One day is sufficient. We mentioned Erev, the day before any one of these given Yomim Tovim. What do we see from this? That people, when they ready themselves for a holiday, they ready themselves, they get themselves ready 1 day before, but not 3 days before. So the Gemara answers, there is a distinction. Hosam, in the case of these four time periods, de le'achila, where the issue of preparing was a matter of preparing for food purposes, for eating, sagya b'chad yoma, one day is enough. In other words, it's enough to have 1 day to prepare for a holiday, that is, to prepare the food for a holiday. Hacha, but in the context of our Mishnah, de la hakrova, where the issue is they are going to offer sacrifices to their deities. In order to ready themselves for sacrificing, bo'inon tlosa yoimi, we require 3 days. In other words, more time is spent in readying oneself for sacrificing than readying oneself for preparing his own meal. The Gemara asks, ulahakrova sagi betlosa yomi, and when it comes to matters of sacrificing, is it sufficient to have just 3 days? V'hotanya, we have the following source that describes getting ready for Pesach, or maybe more specifically for Pesach Sheni. The getting oneself ready for Pesach Sheni is an issue of getting ready for sacrificial purposes. The one who didn't successfully offer his Korban Pesach on Yud Dalid Nisan, he has a second chance, so to speak, and we call that Pesach Sheni on Yud Dalid Iyar. From that particular fact that there is a month that one has to get ready, we also learn the following. Shoyalim b'hilchus ha-pesach, kinem ha-pesach, shloshim yom. That in general, one readies himself through the study of the laws of Pesach, before Pesach. How much time? 30 days. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, shtei shabbosos. He has a different opinion. He says 2 weeks is sufficient to ready oneself with regard to the study of Hilchus Pesach. Tosfos points out that even though the source features Shoyel in Behilchas HaPesach, the Iker Takona, the original rule of getting ready for 30 days, concerned the getting ready for Pesach Sheni. For our purposes, though, what do we see? That when there's an issue of readying oneself for sacrificial purposes, a 30-day period is necessary, not merely 3 days. The Gemara answers, Anan deshchichi mumin depasli afilu bedukin shebaayin bo'inan t'losin yoimin. Anan, that refers to us, where issues of imperfections in animals that result in the voiding of an animal's acceptability as a sacrifice, those imperfections are numerous and are actually of a very fine nature. In other words, even dukin shebaayin, which the Gemara referred to, even possibly a scratch on the eye, which is a very common phenomenon with regard to animals, which will render the animal unfit as a sacrifice. So in order to find an animal that's fit for hakrova, you need a lot of time. You need 30 days to seek out such an animal. Therefore, for us, one readies himself 30 days before sacrificing. Inhu, the Gentiles, on the other hand, that also practice sacrificing, and in fact, when dealing with the Goyim, one should realize that they too have an option of sacrificing to God, and they could do that on their personal altars that they erect in their backyards. The rules that govern sacrifices of the Gentiles are different than the rules that govern Jewish sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. As far as the Goyim are concerned, they can have animals that have mumin on them, have imperfections. What they cannot have, what they're forbidden to offer, are mechusar aver, an animal that's missing a limb. So in order to find an animal that's complete, in the sense that it's not missing a limb, you don't need much time for that. So they, in order to purchase their animals, they'll spend maximum 3 days seeking out an animal for sacrificial purposes. Hence, the 3-day period is the amount of time the Mishnah features in not having dealings with the Goyim. Let's now see this in the Gemara. Inhu, the Goyim, the Mechusar Eiver Islehu, that what they have as a restriction with regard to sacrifices, a missing limb animal, betlosa yoimi sagi, 3 days is sufficient. What we might want to point out, and it's not spelled out by the Gemara, but it seems that the standard of Mechusar Eiver that the Torah dictates for a legitimate Gentile sacrificial offering, name that particular standard is something that they practice with regard to their idolatrous sacrifices as well. So the Goyim will seek out animals that are not Mechusar Eiver, and it doesn't take that much time to find such an animal, so they'll spend 3 days, up till 3 days, seeking such an animal out. And now the Gemara goes on to provide the source for this halacha that Mechusar Eiver is that which is usur to the Bnei Noach. On the outside margin, we offered this section of Gemara a title, Nosei, Korban Shel Goy Beboma, the sacrifice that a Goy offers on a personal altar, Lo Nifsal, is not rendered unfit, Elo B'Mechusar Eiver, V'lo B'Mum Greda, only if it's missing a limb, but not through other types of bodily imperfections. So as our Gemara continues, we will see the source for this halacha. The Omer of Elazar, Minayin the Mechusar Eivor de Osir Livnei Noach. Notice we've dashed underlined the key expression. From where do we know that a missing limb is that which is Osir, forbidden for Bnei Noach, for the Gentiles, to offer on their personal altars? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says in the context of Noach, Noach was instructed to bring animals into the ark in order to survive the flood, and it says, "Umikol hachai, mikol basar, shnayim mikol v'chulei." The pasuk goes on to talk about the creatures that that Noach was expected to bring in, of the tomei variety and the tohor variety. Nevertheless, for our purposes, we've dashed underlined the word hachai because this is the source we're looking for. Omro Torah, havei behemo she. Chayin roshei evorin shelah. Bring an animal whose limbs are intact. The Gemara asks, is this pasuk designed to talk about complete creature, fully limbed? Hi, miboya le limute trefa delo. I need this pasuk to exclude a trefa. In other words, if an animal is classified as a trefa, that is unacceptable. So the Gemara answers, as far as ruling, or as far as demonstrating that a trefa is unacceptable, there's another pasuk for that. Trefa mi lechayos zera nafka. The pasuk of lechayos zera is perek zayin pasuk yud gimel. The pasuk of mikol hachai is perek vav pasuk yud tes. So, as far as the exclusion of a trefa, that's learned from the requirement of having animals that are l'chayos zera. Literally, these are animals that are capable of procreation, an assumption being that a trefa is not capable of procreation. A trefa, in general, is a reference to different types of organ imperfections, or more accurately, holes or severings in different parts of the anatomy. It's not a function of a missing limb per se, but let us say the most common example is an animal whose lung has a hole in it. So the pasuk that will exclude trefa as being acceptable, that can be learned from l'chayos zera, the assumption being that a trefa is not capable of procreation. That would leave open the pasuk of mikol hachai in order to exclude the mechusar eiver as being the missing limb animal as being unacceptable. The Gemara says ha nicha means it works out that l'chayos zera excludes trefa, l'man diomar trefa eino yoledes. That describes a trefa as being a creature that's incapable of procreation. Ela l'man diomar, the Gemara continues here at the top of Dav Vav and says, but according to the opinion, trefa yoledes, that a trefa is capable of procreation, mai ikol l'meimar. Then what are you going to say? What are you going to say as far as the issue of missing limb? Because if you say that a trefa is yoledes, then the pasuk of l'chayos zera will not be sufficient to exclude a trefa. Therefore, I still need the pasuk of mikol hachai to exclude a trefa. A trefa, it's assumed, is an animal that is lifespan is limited, that won't continue living. In other words, according to this approach, it might have enough time to produce an offspring, but it won't continue living, let us say, 12 months. So, at this point, I can't use l'chayo zera for excluding a trefa, because this particular opinion holds a trefa yoledes. Therefore, I'm going to be using mikol hachai to exclude a trefa. I'm therefore not going to have a pasuk available, I'm not going to have mikol hachai available to exclude missing limb. The Gemara answers, Omar kra itcha bedoymin loch. Noach was instructed to bring animals into the teva, into the ark, that are itcha, meaning that are like you. The assumption being that
that are like you, and that just like you are not a treifa, the animals that you bring in are not to be treifa. So we will exclude treifa from itcha, thereby making available the pasuk of mikol hachai for the issue of shlemus, for complete, meaning non-missing limb. The Gemara asks, v'dilma noyach gufa treifa have? If the maybe Noach himself was a treifa, so when God says bring in animals that are like you, he is allowing for that pasuk itself would not have excluded treifa. So if you want to exclude treifa, you're going to have to use up the mikol hachai pasuk for that. The Gemara says no, Noach wasn't a treifa, and I will still be able to use itcha to exclude treifa. How do I know that Noach was not a treifa? Tomim ksiv bei. It describes Noach as being tomim. Tomim would be complete, namely not a treifa. V'dilma tomim equals bedrachav hoya. Maybe tomim is a description of his behavior, of his ways. So the Gemara says, no. Tzadik ksiv bei. As far as his moral characteristics are concerned, as being a complete individual, the word tzaddik does that, so tumim is more of a physical description. The Gemara asks, but still, dilma tumim bidrachav, tzaddik b'maisav have. Maybe both tumim and tzaddik are used to describe behavior. The Rashi at the top says, tumim bidrachav, ona v'shval ruach, because we call them behavior characteristics, one of humility and lowly spirit. When we say lowly spirit, in a positive sense, and tzaddik b'maisav, meaning his method of conduct was one without theft, without, as Rashi says, below chomas, means free of theft. So one is a personality description, and one is a conduct description. But as far as Noach himself being concerned, physically concerned, maybe Noach himself was a treifa. And as we said before, if Noach himself was a treifa, itcha is not going to exclude treifa. I'll have to come on to Mikol HaChai to exclude treifa, and I won't have a pasuk available for Rashi Evarim, for completeness. The Gemara answers, this answer, we've used a long answer marking, three lines, and that's indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, where you see the tuf that's encircled and a vertical dashed line. The Gemara says, "Lo salka daitach de noach gufei treifa havoi." One shouldn't entertain the idea that Noach himself was a treifa. The isalka daitach de noach treifa havi. If you're going to raise that as a possibility that he was a treifa, then how are we going to read the pasuk that mentioned itcha, that you should bring into the animals, into the ark, animals that are like you? Are you to say, Omar le Rachmona kavosech ayel shlemin lo tayel? Is God, Rachmona is a reference to the Torah, to God, is God saying to him, bring into the ark animals like you, namely treifas, bring in treifas and don't bring in healthy animals? Therefore, it's quite unlikely that itcha is a reference to that is a description of Noach as a treifa. Quite the contrary, we can use itcha to exclude treifas. V'hashta denafka le meitcha. Now that we have successfully learned from itcha the exclusion of treifa. L'chayoy zera lomali. What is the role of that pasuk? This was introduced at the bottom of Hey Omid Beis. You can find it by finding a parallel arrow, just like we have one over here to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice we brought in L'chayoy zera, second line from the bottom of Hey Omid Beis, in an attempt to use that to exclude treifa. But at this point, we're saying that itcha excludes treifa. So what is L'chayoy zera going to accomplish? The Gemara says, "Im itcha, had I had just the word itcha, have amina, I would have thought litzafsa bi'alma v'afilu zaken v'afilu soris, that the animals were brought into the ark simply to litzafsa, to keep Noach company. True, itcha excludes treifa, but maybe bring in an old animal or an animal that's sterilized, that's a saurus. Therefore, kosav rachmona zera, I want you to bring in animals that are capable, that are not only non-trefos, but that are also capable of reproduction, which would exclude the zokain and saurus animals as well. So, l'chayo zera has a role as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.